Welcome to the White Spring Bunker.
These halls were built to safeguard some of the most prestigious members of the United States government.
Now we are all that remains, though we are always looking for men and women capable of restoring what has been lost.
In return, we offer this, our refuge from the world above. Please, take your time and look around. Our assets have made great efforts to restore this place to its former glory.
Welcome, member, to our little enclave.
Greetings, members. As not always, I am Sophia Daguerre, here to introduce you to a very special episode of the Modus Files. No, it's not another Scooby-Doo mystery or Halloween caper, although we do have something in the works. But rather, we held a watch party in our Discord for the first episode of the new Fallout TV show. We recorded this on Thursday, right after the show came out. So while a couple of us had seen an episode or three, most had not. So you're going to get our very, very raw first reactions to the episode as we watch it. We recorded two sections. The first is after the initial vault sequence, where we have the intro, and then we meet Lucy and everyone in Vault 33. Stuff goes very wrong, and then we switch to the Brotherhood. We paused for a quick break to catch our breath and just kind of went off. You'll see. But it was a fantastic time with cast, crew, and a few members of our Discord having a little watch party. But please, sit back, grab a fancy lad snack cake, and enjoy our thoughts on the show.
Holy fucking shit.
So, what are we thinking?
Jesus Christ.
Lazarus, how bad are you holding your tongue right now?
Dude, you have no idea how much I want to answer questions.
She must be some kind of, like, overboss or something. And as soon as she said, like, you remind me of her mother, like, did her mother work for the Raiders?
I have terrible context issues, so let me make sure I got this straight. They clearly took over 32, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the dead crops were from 32. So brother wandered into 32. Okay.
Yes. He was investigating where they came from.
Yes.
Okay. I got that. Oh my God. Okay. Woo! My blood pressure went so high during that first scene. I had to send Chris with my heart rate monitor. I was like, yeah. I'm not doing well. I was like, yeah. Are you going to be okay? As soon as the scene's over, I will be fine. But like, I just started playing 4 recently and I was not prepared for the anxiety that opening sequence would cause. And so this was exactly the same feel.
Right? Yes. It was so intense. I believe Wildstar had some comments there about way the silence and sound design affected.
Yes, the sound design was absolutely phenomenal. I actually had to go back and rewatch that scene twice. Because the first time I saw it, I thought I was having hearing problems. Because I'm like, wait, no, this is a brand new headset. What the heck is going on here? And I played it the second time.
Ooh, wait a minute. Now I get it.
Man.
I'm going to have to take a page from Chrissy's book. I know everyone loves the hat, but not easy.
It just got too tense. I was like, nope, this got to go.
Sometimes you got to take off the hat.
Yes. I don't know if everybody caught the comment that I put in, but please correct me if I'm wrong. Walter Goggins is the actor's name, or is that his character name?
Yes.
That's the actor.
No, that's his actor name.
Cooper Howard is the character name.
Gotcha. Okay. I mixed that up for some reason. Actually was in an interview recently for some of the promotional stuff of this, and he said that he is the only member of the cast that did not play any of the Fallout games. He wanted to keep it as grounded because this is a TV show, so he didn't want it to go too crazy. And that was at the insistence of his son.
Neat.
Okay.
Because his son plays Fallout and Skyrim, and his son was like, don't do it.
Did we want to discuss everything we just watched, or do we want to wait and have a larger discussion at the end?
Yeah, we don't want to take up too much time in between.
Yeah, discussion at the end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was good to decompress for a fucking minute and be like,
totally. I did start recording as soon as we broke, too, so we can include
there
that.
There you go.
Okay, good.
Because
I will say, I think the chat is such a great... It's so complimentary to watching this. Because we're not screaming at each other.
I'm like doing this. I'm like.
Could you imagine if we did have the mics going just as, at those points?
Oh, it'd be insanity. Yeah.
I'm literally typing what I'm saying, though, where I was like, fuck! Oh, gross! When he wiped his dick on the, like, curtains,
oh, muffin humpers. Yeah, that was nasty.
Oh, my heavens, what does this lever do? Water? Oh, my.
You know, every bit that he did, you know, explains it was all context clues.
Yeah, you're like, Raider. They're like
I didn't even think, like, Raider, because as soon as, like, he introduced himself, I was like, oh, is he inbred?
I didn't see anyone else mention it. 32 didn't have pit boys. That was the first clue.
Well, when she was like, do you know what your sperm count is? And he was like,
yeah. I saw that in chat. The dawning realization where like Lawrence was like, oh shit. Because they definitely had some foreshadowing there. And I like the fact that the brother, the one everybody discounts, is the only one who noticed it. You know, I mean, you saw him catching what's going on. Like, he is the one who actually is more aware. And the others are just deep into the propaganda.
For me, it was the moment we looked down into 30. Everything was dark.
Dark, yeah.
Everyone in 33 was bright and lively, and it's like something's going on. Hello, there's a cat.
There's a feline!
Oh, it's a poo! Okay.
Are we ready to jump?
Are we ready to do this?
Yeah, we're ready.
Let's do it.
Sure. Let's go.
Muting.
Okay, so I didn't realize it was literally like ending.
Yep.
We could have waited 2 minutes.
Well, there is a preview section right after the credits.
I don't watch previews. No, thank you.
I think that's fair. If you guys want to continue to watch it, you guys know where to watch it.
If the rest of the episodes are anywhere near like that, this will be one of the greatest Fallout shows. This will be one of the greatest.
It's the only Fallout show.
Oh, they get better.
It'll be the only Fallout show I've ever seen. They own all the rights. They already own the rights to all those music because it's all the music from Fallout. They own all of that already.
Oh, yeah, Bethesda, I mean, unless they actually bought the rights, they probably just licensed it for video games.
Exactly.
Like, licenses are very specific.
My bet probably would be the fact that Amazon probably got a huge boost in Amazon Prime newcomers, and they've gone, hey, we can make a lot of cats from this.
But marketing-wise, it's smarter to go ahead and push it a day or so and promo the fuck out of it a little bit longer. Like, as it gets that hype... Why give it to them a day early when you can be like, hey, I know you're ready for it, but here's a little bit more snippet. And just
Keep them edging
like
a little
stir
bit.
Stir that pot, throw some chum in the water, like, but they
might
like,
have been trying to cut somebody off at the pass. Like, they're worried that a bootleg copy is going to surface, like, right before it drops. And they're like, no, we go early.
That's what I think it was more along the lines of. Yeah.
That's a good call.
Although, frankly,
because they showed it to Europe like 3 days ago or whatever, or a week ago.
It's all marketing nonsense. Because it's all in-house and they handle their own advertising, they literally just have people in suits in a room going, you know, shouting at each other, like, no, this. It's not like regular network TV where it's all super planned and locked down. Like, they can do whatever the hell they want.
Do you think they have a better marketing department? I don't know. It's just... in marketing, it's a bit perturbing.
It was pretty off the hook on the marketing. But, yeah, no, as far as renewed for a second season... Technically, even though headlines are saying that it has not been officially renewed for a second season yet.
Don't trust Facebook.
What happened was they have been earmarked a significant amount of money as a tax credit to move it to California. That's been put through by the board in California. And so people are assuming, okay, they're getting all this money. It's going to be renewed for a second season. But that hasn't actually been announced.
Oh, okay. So I just misunderstood that announcement. My apologies.
A lot of headlines are going for the clickbait.
Yeah, unless you go to Prime and it says renewed or whatever, just...
I mean, if we want to go off of episode one alone, that'd be insane not to renew.
Well, it really depends on how much it cost them to make it. Clearly, the production values were high.
Mm. Yeah.
I want to get into the second episode right away, just purely to see Lawrence lose his shit, because the next episode... absolutely love it. I'm not spoiling.
We can see Chrissy's finger on the kick button.
Don't make me. I don't want to.
So down the hall is my 70-inch TV that I play Fallout 76 on. Mm-hmm. And you bet your ass that I am watching the rest of this series on that on goddamn 70-inch.
Amen.
You're not working tomorrow, are you, Lawrence?
Well, I don't work most days.
This is true.
He conveniently just comes down with a cough.
What's wrong with tonight? Forget about tomorrow.
It's very late.
You're just pulling an all-nighter.
Exactly.
It's only just past midday for me, so I've got a whole day to go to... Have fun at work.
I will say, just from a
So to give my two cents as far as this goes, I thought the writing was fantastic. I think the lore-friendly aspects of it, it was fan service, but it was not fan service in a way that was like, oh, if I was coming into this and I didn't know anything about Fallout, this, I think, would help ease me into it. But I think the hardcore Fallout fans are going to love this. I love this. I think this is fantastic. So.
I think they towed the line really well. I always joke with Lawrence and Chris, I'm not lore heavy. Like, I only joined 76, honestly, because of this podcast. Right. Like, I found this community and was like, well, I'm going to start playing this game because I'm not going to be Evangelina Lilly and not know my fan base. But also, look, you know what I'm talking about.
Burn.
The bitch
oh, yeah.
doesn't know Lord of the Rings. She can't be a elf. Anyway. But I also was a gamer until I had children, and then I just couldn't game. And so I got back into gaming, and the 76 community is so beautiful that I was just like, nope, I'm in. But I'm not lore heavy because I didn't play 3, 4, New Vegas. And so I'm asking them all the time, is this the thing? Is this the thing? But so I understood a lot of it as kind of a layman. And I've had so many people who know I play because of this, who've reached out to me this last week and been like, all right, talk to me about 76. Okay, well. Like, I had one yesterday, a guy, he actually streamed and he was, all right, talk to me about 76. How do I start? And I was like, well, here are the things I didn't know about until I met Lawrence and Chris that are good things to know right off the bat. And so who knows what it'll do for the fandom. I've been joking with Chris and Lawrence for months now. It's got to be really weird. And I know this as a Hobbit fan, as a Lord of the Rings fan, watching your fandom become mainstream is such a weird sensation. I can buy D&D now at Target, y'all. I played D&D in the 90s when you had to hide the book because people thought you were the devil, you know?
Back in the day, the real place that you could most often find D&D books, weirdly, was Walden Books.
Yeah, not where I grew up. You had to go to that little creepy-ass comic book store that look at girls and go... Oh, there's a girl in here, and you're like, well, I just kind of want that book, and I just get... And then they have to mansplain to you, do you know what this is? Do you even know D&D? How about you tell, and you're like, okay, I don't want to do this, I just want the book. But, so now you can go to Target, Magic the Gathering, they now have, I got the Fallout cards, because I was like, I played Magic, but like, it's all mainstream now, and it's such a weird thing that all my friends who know I'm in this Fallout 76 podcast are like, oh, now you're interested? Well,
yeah,
here's the link. Welcome to the fold. We welcome you.
Chrissy, I mean, at what level do you get Bigby's magic hand? Okay, tell me. Are you a real fan?
I know, right? Can you name all the spells? I mean, I did have them all on index cards in like an index card box.
When you say magic hand, like, aren't all the Bigby spells magic hands? Like, I don't think it's actually named none of them are named Magic Hand.
Oh my god, I just got owned. Yeah, no. Is the first one?
Well, it depends on what edition you're talking about when you say first one. Like, the first level you get, because I think there's a Bigby's Interposing Hand. It's like a low-level spell now, but...
Dora.
Sorry.
When a guy's named Bigby, most of his hands are imposing. But, yeah, mm-hmm. So what are your top-level thoughts on it, Chrissy, or anyone else who wants to go next?
Yeah, I've been talking. You all... Lazarus, I do love your sign, or your flag in the background. But...
Oh, thanks. Actually, Bethesda Store.
There you go.
You know, my whole house is pretty much decorated in all of my fandoms. Just one of the perks of homeownership.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to reiterate my agenda. Pit Boys for Lefties.
The South Pit Ball.
Wouldn't you really just need, like, a... like two wrenches with a pencil duct tape between them, and then the knob would be on the other side? Like, is it just the knob that's the problem?
The orientation of the screen, too. So if you look at a Pip-Boy, it's wider here than it is here, so it fits your arm.
Oh, okay, so the actual mounting is... Okay, see, I thought it was just a cylinder. I have the,
No, you can't just put it on this arm. I mean, yes, then you got to spin it.
What if you wear it upside down?
You can't, because it won't reorient, and it's wider on the one end, and... like, that's how we said, just flip it over and put it in your arm. Like, that's the thing with an Apple Watch. They are made to do that. They flip and you decide where you want the orientation of your knob. Yeah. But also, in the game, I can decide what sex I am. I can decide how thick I want my eyebrows, my color of my hair, the color of my eyes, what my lips look like, how long my chin is. But I can't decide to be left-handed. I mean, that's such an easy...
That takes extra animation, and animation is expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But they went through all that other stuff.
Well... it's also slightly less expensive, I want to say.
Speaking of lengthening the chin, I wonder where Dash is.
Oh, yes.
Mr. President. Well, Mr. President
he's
is
missing.
Actually...
We don't know where the president is. Isn't that what that first scene said?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's canonical to Fallout 4 is when you find the newspaper article that says that nobody knows where the president is right before the bombs drop.
That was a nice little tidbit.
Yeah, it was. Very so cool.
Boston newspaper that made that statement. It's on the radio and TV, so that does open up a bit more as to the political world of Fallout, at least.
So I am now kind of talking about the lore and talking about what they've hinted for the story, and I know that some of you have actually watched multiple episodes, so kind of beyond that, I'm actually intrigued by the fact that they actually mentioned the Enclave. I did not expect that. Like, hey, if they mention it in a flashback, like, oh, that'd be great. But the fact that they've actually mentioned it as part of the main story, I'm now seriously intrigued about which direction in which they're going to take this.
Well, and we've been speculating who that character is, the one that's on the wanted poster. So the fact that I guess he's an escapee Enclave person is a really
interesting... Yeah, so we know his
interesting...
name is... Wilzig from all the promo, but the Enclave reference, I don't think anyone really guessed that. Maybe Enclave, that was a surprise.
Well, here's how I see it. Like, if they're mentioning the Enclave and it's 219 years into the future, we could actually be thinking of seeing the Enclave from Chicago, because they were hinted in the game, but they were never seen. Well, Edie is technically the only one from Chicago.
That's true, but also the fact that it was that they mentioned the Commonwealth.
Yes.
That brings up a very interesting. So could it actually be remnants from Fallout 3? So it actually could be Enclave remnants from the Capital Wasteland that made it to the Commonwealth. I think we just actually confirmed that the BOS ending is canonical for Fallout 4. I mean, to me, that kind of says it.
Well, it could be that, or it could also be Minutemen if the Minutemen chose not to destroy the Brotherhood. But remember, the Enclave is also pre-war, so they could have had factions and bunkers anywhere in America that we've never even known about yet.
I think we're just going to have to sit and wait until we get a bit more info, because part of me wants, I know everyone might hate me, I want the Institute to have a canonical ending. Where would the Enclave fit in? And the fact that the West Coast now has an airship, how did they get out west with the resources and all that, you know? So part of me wants to think, Institute win, somehow Maxon survives, and they start relaying information and tech plans out west, going, oh, the Institute's all evil, and oh, fuck, we need more reinforcements on the East Coast. Here's the schematic. Start building up your forces. We're going to make the pilgrimage, the crusade out east.
It's funny, because I've actually given a lot of thought about this, because, of course, I'm a writer.
Yes, of course you do.
But, no, I mean, there is actually no way for the Institute to win. I mean, you kind of have to blow the Institute away, because ultimately they had kind of no point, which is kind of sad. Yeah. I mean, I think they could have been a lot more. But I think just from a technological standpoint, once you bring Liberty Prime into the fight, you're done. Like, that's just it. And it would actually make sense that the Brotherhood kind of gets to the point where they're reaching critical mass, where they have this technology and they're starting to share the East Coast technology with the West Coast. The challenge is going to be, where does the new California Republic fit into all of this?
Yes.
So I think we're going to have to wait and see, because I don't think they're anywhere near developing the lore of this world, like as far as introducing new factions and what's going on. So
hell, I don't think season one will fully develop whatever it is they're trying to do.
No, season one, they've made it clear that they're not going to get very wild wasteland.
It's very important to remember when you're watching a television series that the first season is almost always a fleshing out. That's some series make it and some don't. Like, and usually second season is when they hit their stride. I find it really interesting that they are telling this story from three different perspectives, the world of Fallout. You've got a fault dweller, you've got a BOS person, and then you've got a ghoul. And so especially like in regards to our show, the whole point that Lawrence made with incorporating Red was that he wanted an outside perspective of somebody coming into this world. And so I find it interesting as that character within our world being the outside perspective that they have all three perspectives. And I know that there are more. I mean, we could have a raider, we could be following a raider, and who knows?
And the ghoul is a bit of a raider.
Right. And so there may be more characters that are coming. These will be clearly any good story always has a trifecta. That's good storytelling.
I guess you just technically put the old man in the same category as the ghoul, because he's also, you know,
Well, that's all life, right?
He's the pre-war survivor.
It is. It's really fascinating to see the story, see the world through the different eyes.
One thing lore-wise, I would like to know what happens in the region itself. Reno, Redding, and also you've got, obviously, New Vegas. What's going to be the lore that's going to be seen canonical for all that?
So they have said clearly that they will not canonize any ending of any game. But that doesn't mean that we can't make inferences like Lawrence is making here, or you might be making with New Vegas.
And that's kind of hard. That's kind of hard to do when you see the bloody Prydwen in the first episode.
Well, but it's not the Prydwen. But I will also say, we do know that Robert House makes an appearance in this season. At least that's what I've heard. I could be completely wrong.
No, he had credit on IMDb. I think you're right.
Yeah, but I think it's pre-war. I do not think it's actually post-war. I think it is a pre-war reference to Mr. House.
It is a post-war because on the IMDb, there's also Seth. He's the trader in Goodspring. He was credited as well, so we might know a bit more.
That's interesting. To be honest, I mean, I will say this, and I know it's a hot take. I didn't like New Vegas. It wasn't really my cup of tea. I appreciate it as a game. I love the story and everything. I just didn't like the game. That's just me.
We are releasing this to our listeners, Lawrence. So, you know.
No. But
how dare you, sir? How dare you?
But I will say, I think that there is Bethesda lean. If you play any of their games, even New Vegas, they lean towards one ending versus another. It's like, yes, you can do other endings, but there is an ending that makes sense. Honestly, I don't know why they would be so tied to not wanting to show an ending of a game, because the Mojave's got to play a part in all of this. So I hope that we see more of that. And at the end of the day, I'll kind of leave it with this. We got an awesome TV show. Like, again, I am so stoked for this. It's
Like I said, our fandom is mainstream now, y'all.
Yeah. Anything that comes after this is gravy. Like, this first episode was everything I wanted it to be.
How about
I'm happy.
You, Dora? How many episodes have you seen so far? Was that your first? Top level thoughts?
So, yeah, this is the kind of thing where it's good when you see something that, you know, it's a fandom that you like, right? You enjoy it, like, not even a fandom, like, maybe it was just a book that you liked, and then they're coming out with a movie of it, or a TV show, and you're like, oh god, please let it not suck, right? And clearly, they did it, they made all of the choices that you would make if you actually cared about all of the stuff, right, that had already come before, as opposed to, so often, there's gonna be, like, a director, somebody's like, I'm going to put my own stamp on it, right? And then you get weird shit like the Ender's Game movie, right? No, like, this is a love letter, but it's also got new stuff in it, right? They actually did it. They have an original story, but they kept all the flavor, and it's not weird. It's not like Uncanny Valley of Fallout. It is Fallout. It's in that way, it is perfect. I mean, I haven't seen enough of the show to know about character dynamics and stuff to see if it's going to be a good show in that sense, but just the storytelling in the first episode was very strong.
Speaking of going into the beginning of the show, did anyone also notice that when the little brother looked down to the elevator, you saw multiple upon multiple rows of the vault? Is it just
Yeah, that was unsecured as hell.
It felt like, well, I'm imagining that this vault connects to the other vaults, so it's under one giant mountain or one big bunker.
Seems to be. Yeah, they seem to all be under a bunker and multi-levels down to where they're actually located.
But if that's
the tunnel was incredibly interesting.
If that's the case, then where did these raiders actually come from? Or is it just like one big bunker where it has like multiple people or stuff like that?
A quick answer there that I can see is that when she exited Vault 33, the door said 33. So each vault may have their own exterior entrance and their own vault area, but have a connecting network of tunnels to be able to get between them.
Yeah, and somehow, it doesn't have to be all the vaults. It could just be there's a small group that are actually connected.
Right,
and
31,
that was,
32,
that was the experiment over there.
Yeah, the 30s.
Exactly.
Either it's a control vault, or it's a design of the vault itself for the experiment itself, like, hey, this one vault you're going into has these three different connecting vaults, but each vault might have a different theme to it.
But you're suggesting that is the project or the experiment.
That's what I'm suggesting, yeah. So like Vault 32, I know we only just got to see it's completely destroyed by the raiders, but what was their purpose? Because they were like, oh, we had a disease go through our crops. And the 33 overseer was like, oh, yeah, here's some new seeds and, oh, there's some new machine parts. So is that a communal-based vault system where each vault has a need from one or the other? Because they needed genetic...
And why were they isolated in the first place? I guess
a way to build a community in more ways than one?
See, I wanted to throw this theory into the mix. The way that vault is designed, we see it when she exits. They're next to the Santa Monica Pier. That's salt water. That structure might be entirely dedicated to desalinization, and Vault 32 might be having a drought because they can't get the salt out of the water in order to water their crops.
There's a lot of speculation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's possible the Blight was also made up by the Raiders. They learned about the Blight through communication, but maybe just the Raiders invaded and the crops died.
Yeah.
That's also possible.
Because that one body was like dead. Dead for a while. So like,
I thought it was like cannibalism or something. I don't know.
It looked like his leg had been cut. I couldn't tell.
Or it could be something where, in regards that, that maybe the Raiders didn't kill the Vault Dwellers. Maybe the Vault was just left abandoned.
Compromised.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah, everybody was already dead and they just moved in.
Yeah, because think of it like this. That corpse was rotting for a while. There's no way that the Raiders would have just, like, killed the Vault and no one from the other Vaults would have, like, gotten to, like, another Vault to, like, say, hey, things are going wrong. Lock down everyone.
Although they wouldn't have been able to get access to 33 without their gate or door opening. You know what I mean? So this was a good excuse for them to get through. But yeah, maybe it was their base of operation for a bit.
Yeah, but whoever their raider leader was, she had some knowledge.
There has to be something that they were looking for in one of the other vaults, which is why they wanted an overseer. Mm-hmm. Like, because he's got codes, presumably, right? So that's like where they took her dad.
What was her line? Because she said... they all know who I am.
Right.
Do they know who you are? Is that what she said?
Yes. Or do they know who they are? But also, I know you.
Yeah, I know who you
so
are.
So we know that she must have been a previous Vault Dweller or somehow Hank knew her.
She did also say you look like your mother, so she's definitely
so she clearly knows. She's familiar.
Interaction.
Yeah. She's a badass.
There's another
Lawrence, write me a character like her. I want to play her.
There's another thing that I would actually like to say with our fellow cowboy ghoul. When he was buried, did anyone catch those were like two bags of Radix?
That was basically nutrients for him because the dialogue that they were saying back and forth that somebody digs him up every now and then just to take a piece off of him and buries him again.
I was under the impression that those were like Rataways and he was actually trying to slowly, you know, like off himself.
There was a character mentioned that we haven't seen yet called Dom, and apparently he was trying to keep him under control, and then he would occasionally unbury him to take him on a job.
And then bury him again? That's so horrifying. Yeah.
So what was hanging was basically his food source.
Okay.
Are you dropping lines into the chat?
He's dropping
monster
lines!
This is my day. He's like, here's the seed. I'm like, I love it. You're so great. I do have to get children to bed soon. You guys are welcome to keep on chatting.
Chrissy, before you go, I got something to say.
Yeah.
We hope you have all enjoyed your time here in the White Spring.
The White Spring is my favorite place.
I'll make sure the next time we do this,
let's be fair.
See my ugly mug.
The White Spring would have better internet.
I'm like, no, I have really great internet. I don't know what was going on. Like I said, we should definitely try to do some sort of, like, not necessarily streaming, but this kind of thing, like once a month with
big,
like,
time
people.
So, I'd love to do that.
Good luck.
Thank you, everyone. It was wonderful finally chatting and seeing everyone.
You
and
too, Daniel.
Hopefully meetup, you'll have my ugly mug on the screen as well.
We better.
We hope so.
I demand it so. They'll make me come out
very
there.
Well, I shall ensure that the merchant is properly stocked.
I got to dive out of here as well. I got to work tomorrow. So
we're going to wrap up?
Yep.
Okay.
No problem.
All of you later.
Sounds like it.
Fantastic. And everyone has a great evening.
Yes, right. Even if we're doing another one of these next month, I'm definitely not going to wait to watch the other ones for a month.
Heck, muffins, no.
I just put like I did for this one. I wanted to make it fresh, but I can't wait that long, no.
No,
so
no.
Proud of you, Dora, but yeah, no, I couldn't. I watched 3 episodes already, but only 3.
I'm 3/4 of the way through the second one myself. There you go. This was awesome. Coming in as a fan myself of the bonus files, this was really awesome to actually be able to put faces to names and hear the cast and being like, wait a minute, that's their character. The confusion was real, but it was still awesome.
Same here. I've been listening to the podcast for the last year now, and this has been an incredible opportunity to share with all of you the voice actors.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm glad it's cool.
Honestly, it got me to put 76 back in tonight.
Once upon a time, 27 years after the bombs fell, there were two people, a vault dweller and a California girl. They met and sparks flew. That's when things got interesting. Once Upon a Wasteland is their story. Follow Elizabeth Kirby and Odessa Valdez as they pursue their happily ever after in the post-apocalyptic Appalachian wasteland of Fallout 76. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and many other podcasting platforms. Once Upon a Wasteland, a Fallout 76 love story. Available now.
Thank you again, members, for joining us here on The Modus Files. If you've enjoyed this content, please subscribe, or better yet, leave a review to help others find our little enclave. We had a great time putting together this little watch party for our community and our cast. We look forward to doing events like this in the future, so please keep an eye out. These will be listed up both on our Patreon and also on our various social media accounts. So once again, thank you for joining us here for this little discussion that we had about this first episode of the Great Fallout series. Hope you have a chance to take a look at it. And once again, you'll have regular content for the Modus Files podcast story coming out very soon. And remember, God bless the Enclave and God bless America.
Members, we look forward to your next visit to our little Enclave.